Mike Welch standing by down at Gulfstream. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Did we lose Mike?
I'm here.
Oh, no. Come on.
I'm here. Hello.
He was there a minute ago.
I'm here. Hello?
Yeah?
Hello?
There he is. Yeah, it's my fault. I think that was me, Mike. I think it was my fault that I lost you.
Yeah, I have no idea.
All right, glad you're there. No, Mike, I want to get into the big matchup tomorrow, and it's more than just Imperial Hint and XY Jet, but I would like to get a little bit from recap of last week. I hit on most of most of the action, but some thoughts about what we saw.
Obviously the incident with Prince Lucky put a damper on everything. Fortunately, he was able to have surgery, and the last word I got from Todd was the surgery was successful. So that was some good news as a follow-up to last Saturday's card. I mean, War Story winning, what can you say? $3 million in earnings almost for this guy now. He was in the right place at the right time, the way the race kind of broke and fell apart at the end. But to his credit and to Elizabeth Doble's credit, he was ready and he got the job done. And, now on, I would guess, to the Pegasus for his next start. That was not on his dance card before last Saturday, but it certainly is now.
Yeah, we talked to Elizabeth, too. That was fun to get her reaction to a big breakthrough and a first-graded stake win. Instilled Regard, speaking of kind of a breakthrough, Instilled Regard in the Fort Lauderdale, and I ran a terrific race, and I think we're going to see plenty looking ahead. Marty McGee has been singing the praises of Admission Office for like months, and I think if Ortiz had it to do over again, Jose, he might have approached the race slightly differently, but Admission Office and Instilled Regard ran really nice races.
Well, they all did. It was really an exciting race. I mean, it was anybody's race coming down. And, Instilled Regard had the best kick at the end. I'm going to guess off of this now, we'll probably see him moving forward to the Pegasus. Channel Cat, wasn't beaten that far. The pace scenario wasn't to his favor. And the distance, obviously, not his best game either. But I thought he ran well, too, so did Todd. So I'll probably be looking forward to seeing him come Pegasus time, too. And, of course, the big news broke on the Pegasus last weekend, too, as far as the purse changes and the the medication policies, the no Lasix now on race day. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of impact, that news has on the starting size and the makeup of the fields. Far cry from 9 million to 3 million and 7 million to 1 million. And add in the no medication. We'll see if that has any effect on how the entries pan out for the now invitational Pegasus World Cup.
And I was going to get to the Pegasus news, and any further, since the story broke, and frankly, the word had gotten out, several days before there was official press release, and I am curious as well, Mike, given the structure of the purses, the horsemen have to approve this, correct?
I haven't heard that. I'm curious. I would think that they would. I have to check with, I sat on this news for several days because, they asked me not to write anything because there was still in flux as far as the actual official final word on all of this. And I'm thinking the medication part of it was probably the last piece of the puzzle that was finally approved of here. I don't know. I don't think this money is coming out of the purse account, since the original money did not come out of the purse account. It was put up by the principal. So I'm thinking the purses for this is coming out of the Stronach pockets here, $3 million and the $1 million. So they wouldn't need any approval there. As far as the medication part, I think the track can just make that call themselves. So I'm not sure if the horsemen were ever made a part of this whole process here. I can't say officially. That's just my own thinking here. But as for the purse money, you know, none of that ever came out of the purse account. None of that $9 million and $12 million, it was all put up by the principals.
Right.
And now I'm thinking that, you know, with the principals not putting up the money, I don't think the horsemen would approve taking $4 million out of the purse account for these races. So this money has to be coming out of the Stronach pockets.
All right. Well, we've got...
And again, there's nothing official there. That's just off the top of my head.
All right. I'll reach out to Chuck, too. We talked to Chuck on Wednesday, and...
I mean, I did talk, you know, I talked to one horseman representative, and, you know, he thought the same thing, for sure. He's, an ex-president, actually, of the organization. He's not with them anymore, but his thought was the same as mine. There's no way the horsemen are going to all of a sudden, in the middle of the meet, approve a $4 million payout from the horseman's account. I mean, what would that do to the rest of the purses, you know, on a daily basis? I just can't imagine that's the case.
Well, we'll see who gets involved. I mean, Chad Brown and his owners are powwowing to make some decisions.
I think a lot of people are now too.
Yeah.
I mean, Gary West has said now, you know, he's looking more toward going to Dubai and Saudi as opposed to running here for $3 billion. And I don't know, you know, how much of this, the final decisions are going to be purse-oriented and how much are going to be medication-oriented. It certainly is a big change at a late hour. So we'll just have to see how all this plays out. I know they have a long list of names for invitees as far as the Pegasus World Cup goes, but obviously it would be a watered-down version if a lot of the big guys decide to stay home. I'm still hearing Omaha Beach is pointing in this direction, if everything goes well in the Malibu. And he and Maximum Security would probably be the two biggest names out there right now that seem to be looking in this direction. But it's still a long way off and a lot can happen. So we'll just see how it plays along.
All right. Well, we'll keep tabs. And in the meantime, the weekend action ahead. Mike, let's talk about this pretty interesting set of horses in the Mr. Prospector. And it shouldn't be limited to just Imperial Hint and XY Jet. This is, for a six-pack, it's kind of an interesting group. And there could be pressure on the two, you know, in the middle. They're lining up next to each other. XY, 7-5, Imperial Hint, even money. But Lasting Legacy and Diamond Oop showed up. This is all right.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the two favorites have major questions to answer. And part of it is the distance. As we spoke in the story, and both trainers, you know, are a little concerned about the 7-8. Probably Luis Carvajal less so than George Navarro, since Imperial Hint has won 3 times at 7-8, including the General George, I think it was, in Maryland a couple of years ago. But like you said, that was a different kind of competition. But he has gone 7-8 before and been successful. He is coming off, you know, being scratched on Breeders' Cup morning due to a minor foot issue, and it was a minor foot issue. So I don't think there's too much worry there, but you know, now he hasn't run since late September, but still has a lot more recency going into the rematch with XY Jet than XY Jet does. And he was kind of a last-minute decision to go in here. I think trainer George Navarro's original thought was to maybe wait for the Sunshine Millions, but he just wants to get another race into him with his main goal being Dubai, and it's still in the back of his mind maybe the sprint race in Saudi as well, but Chancelot is being pointed for sure for that one and maybe both. So George is a pretty good hand there. But, I think this was a last-minute decision. If it was 6 furlongs, he'd be comfortable. 7-8, you know, he's a little concerned. And of the two, I think XY Jet is probably the more vulnerable. But, you know, of the two, he's got the most speed. I don't think they're making any bones what his strategy is going to be. He's going to go to the lead, and I think it's going to be up to Castellanos to decide at what point he wants to engage XY Jet with Imperial Hint. And, you know, don't forget, Imperial Hint's major goal is getting back to Dubai as well, and maybe Saudi. So you don't want to empty the tank too much here for $100,000. But I know Luis really wants to win this race coming off that disappointment on Breeders' Cup Day.
No doubt. A couple of notes, Mike, to include in this discussion. And until the last, six, seven race days, George Navarro was in a funk that was quite remarkable for him. 3+ weeks, I think 28 starters without a win. Horses seem to be running better. There's also the whole situation with Imaginary seemingly moving horses. I haven't really seen much discussed about this. Mike, hold on. We got a little electronic. You're a little distorted here. Try that again. No.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm here, but you're distorted on us.
I don't know. Let me move to another spot.
Maybe there you go.
Cell phone issue.
That was better. that's
I spoke to George about the slow start, and, you know, he wasn't concerned. He said he's not worried about it. It's a long meet. He said, there was a period in there where he was moving some horses around, you know, after bringing the horses back down from Monmouth and Parks and up north. He had a transition period where he had a lot of his horses at Palmetto's, and then he shipped some from Palmetto's back to Gulfstream West. So he thought that might have had something to do with it, but he certainly wasn't worried. And, you do kind of, as a horse player, have to stay away from a barn when they're cold and back them when they're hot. And it was a good idea to back off of George there for a while. But he seems to have had a little more success here, like you mentioned, the last few days. So we'll see how that plays out, whether all of this is relevant regarding XY Jet on Saturday or not. I think the 7/8 issue when the 8-month layoff is more of a concern there than George's recent cold streak.
Speaking of the 7/8, it came up earlier in the show about the distance, and what was the thinking of lengthening this from 6 to 7?
I don't know. I think it was 7 last year too, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, but I don't remember, when it came up, why it came up, but. It's there, and that's what these guys are going to have to deal with. But, like you said, there are others in here of interest. Diamond Oops coming off that big disappointment, I thought, in the Breeders' Cup Dirt and Mile, considering the good form he had going in. But, he did win the Smile here, and he's 4-for-5 over the course. So you have to think he's going to rebound not only over this track, but with the potential pace scenario could be setting up in his favor. Lasting Legacy has won 3 in a row since switching back to Jason Services Barn. Jason had him in 2017, Steve Asmussen last year, now Jason again. And he did win the Mr. Prospector once already this year, the 6-furlong Monmouth version. But this is a little different beast here. This will be a class check for this horse. His numbers are good. He fits in here, obviously, on those last two buyers. But those were registered against a lot inferior competition. This is a real class check for him. And Zenden is, coming back. This horse showed a lot of potential early in his career. He won the Buffalo Man here last winter and was second in the Swale. Had a long break, came back with a good effort. Todd seems bullish on the way he's training. But, again, he too knows and admits that this is a big jump in class from what he's been running against to go against Imperial Hint and XY Jet.
It's a fun group, and it's great to get these two hard-hitting sprinters lined up with each other, next to each other, and then you've got the emergent Zenden as well, and Lasting Legacy. So kind of fun. And Diamond Oops is just a neat horse. It can do a lot of different things.
It's a good feel. And home base.
Yeah.
Is the sixth horse in here, and he's won 3 of his last 4. He was kind of a last-minute entry. I think he might have got hustled a little bit in here to fill the six-horse field out And unfortunately for them, he drew the rail as well. So we'll see if he stays in or if they look for a little easier spot somewhere else with this horse, probably would be the right idea. But, you know, it's a good way to really start the second week of the meet as far as graded stake action goes. We had those graded stakes last week, and then you get this one, this pre-Christmassy grade three, the Mr. Prospect of the way it's positioned. And, you know, it'll build up good momentum as we head into the new year and the real meat of the stake schedule starting after January 1st.
Well, and speaking of which, do we have any early names? I know the Mucho Macho Man is not, you know, it's not graded, and there's bigger 3-year-old fish to fry, you know, the Holy Bull. But there might be a stretch out, a couple of 6-furlong types that are going to use the Mucho Macho Man as a stepping stone.
Well, for sure, we got Chance at going there. It looks like after he missed going to Churchill for the jockey club there because he got sick and missed a week of training. And then he was going to go to Remington, and he had to pass Remington because of the quarantine there. They weren't going to allow him back here for 30 days if he went to the race. So Safi Joseph has just been working him on a regular basis. He did not work last week after having a very fast work the week before, so I'm guessing he just gave him the week off. I haven't checked with him. If he does not work Sunday or Monday, then I'll be more concerned. But he was training terrific in preparation to going out to Remington. And when those plans fell apart, Safi's just backed off him a little bit. And he's had another month at that point to prepare for the Mucho Macho Man. So that will be his first start of the new year for Chance, who was clearly the best two-year-old in stable in South Florida last season. And I think he's got a bright future, so we'll see how he fits with the big ones when they start getting ready here. We know that Dale Roman's horse has arrived, and he's on the grounds ready to start back. And Tis the Law was scheduled for a work, very easy maintenance work last week, and then Barkley Tag decided to give another week. So he'll start back working, I would guess, come around New Year's. And we're waiting for Independence Hall to run in New York next week or next week, I guess it is. And then he's scheduled to come down here after that as well. So we'll have a pretty good group down here.
Finally, Mike, the rest of that card tomorrow, I've got a group of 2-year-olds in the sixth. I'm looking forward to seeing the report later today. China Horse.
I will give you a heads up. There is an A-minus work on one of those horses. That'll be my lone hint.
I just set
the work tab in to be edited, and it should be up within an hour or two, I hope. But
All right. Yeah,
it's an interesting race. There's also Jason Service has All Eyes West in there, who hasn't run since finishing third in that key Smoke Lacking at Monmouth, won by Maru. And the runner-up was As Seen on TV, who came back out of that race, shipped down here, and won the juvenile sprint at Gulfstream West with a 91 fire for Kelly Green. So this horse has kept some pretty good company and should be the favorite in here, even though there are some very interesting-looking first-time starters, two from Todd, one from Kieran, and one from the red-hot Ralph Nix in there as well. So it's a pretty good group, that race.
Mike, and speaking of some horses from down there, one thing you and I never talked about, the B and Cone maiden winner, or I should say minor stake winner. You had that card with the hut and the smooth air and all those 2-year-old stakes. Sol Volante, the Caracanti. What's Patrick doing there? And then Safi Joseph had a nice winner on that card as well in that stake action. Tonalist Shape. Those both, I thought, flashed. You mentioned Ralph Nix too, Chivalry. But what's up with Patrick with that Sol Volante?
I have not talked to him, so I can't answer that. Tonalist Shape, she's 3-for-3, and he was kind of waiting to just see how she came out of the race before making a decision on where to go next with her. I think they want to try to stretch her out, see if she'll go a mile or a mile and a 16th around two turns next time. And the big horse that we've really had here last week was for Ralph Nix, that maiden and title, the maiden winner.
that got, I think she got a, I think he got a 96 or a 98 buyer, winning the maiden special weight first asking here last Saturday, coming off some good works that we had had on him. And Marty talked to him the other day. I know they've had some offers. He's not been sold, as far as I know. He's something to really look forward to as we get into the new year. He turns three next week.
That was the Kozan in that Florida bred group.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Untitled. One by a dozen. Yeah.
One by a dozen. I think it was a 96 buyer. Something
98.
Like that.
98.
98. Yeah, I knew it was 96 or 98. Yeah. Yeah. No, he was super, super impressive. I mean, he had worked really well. Like you said, his last two works. I don't think anybody, including Ralph, expected that type of performance. The horse that ran second in there was another first-time starter that had had a series of B-plus works. He didn't break quite as well and got outrun to the lead and wound up second best, but and it has a lot of ability. But that effort by Untitled was spectacular.
You know, I'm looking at the winner's book, Mike. One thing that I had failed to mention all week, going back to last, I think it was Thursday. How about the back-to-back winners for Alan Iwinski? And it was so great to see Alan score a couple. One of my absolute favorites, and he's been kind of out of sight for a while. And great to see Alan Iwinski emerge, and obviously has got some live horses going into the winter.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've seen some names pop up, you know, that we haven't seen here in a while, all of a sudden starting to win some races. So it's an interesting mix here this winter. You never know who's going to pop up and win a race or two. Laura Cazales has won two of the last couple of days. We saw Georgina Baxter, along with Elizabeth Doubles, win her first graded stake
right
last weekend. And she's got Pay Any Price revving up for another comeback very shortly. Worked impressively out of the gate with Emicio Jaramillo on him last Saturday, and she told me yesterday that he's scheduled to work back from the gate again this weekend. So that means he's getting close to something. She wasn't sure exactly what they were looking at yet, but he's revving up for another go. I think he's going to be 9 now, maybe 10. Hard to keep track anymore, but he'll be at least 9 when we turn the page on the new year next week.
Well, Mike, finally, year-end thoughts. We had Andy Beyer to start the show, and Andy set off some fireworks. He says Maximum Security should be the horse of the year.
Really? Interesting. I mean, he will be the three-year-old champion. I don't see him as winning horse of the year, not in the face of the accomplishments of Mottoli and Bricks and Mortar. So I think it'll come down to those two. I think Maximum Security will probably get a few votes on the horse of the year, but I think he'll undoubtedly be, and deservedly so, will be the three-year-old champion. And like I said, it'll be interesting to see what path they choose for him. I just was waiting for the smoke to clear a little bit before I give Jason a call on that, and see what he's thinking. He usually plays it pretty close to the vest, so give him a little time to digest it and talk things over with the owner before delving into his thoughts on whether there's any chance with the changes made in the Pegasus that we'll see him here next month.
Well, Mike, I will see you there probably not until February, but we'll talk obviously before that. Thanks, of course, for a fabulous year. And Mike and the team, you got plenty of time to order the Gulfstream Clockers Report for the winter with really the most important racing yet to come. Mike, thanks so much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. See you soon. Stay warm.
Mike Welch, everybody, bottom of the hour, and we'll take one last break, come back, check in with Rick Hammerly, who is in New York. If you've been following the Hammerly family travel log, Hammer already with a couple of great little video vignettes on Twitter, and we're going to get you set up one more push to get you the Oaklawn calendar. We'll remind you about that. And I want to also remind you as we head out, racing tonight into the morning at Hong Kong. So don't forget, not Saturday night. I just got a nice reminder. I appreciate that from Dick. And also on the same topic from earlier with Mike Welch, I did check with Chuck, and Chuck explains that the Horsemen, while they do not support the no Lasix portion of the conditions in the Pegasus races, they are certainly not going to be an obstruction to inhibit the running of the races, but in no way, shape, or form does the Florida HBPA support the elimination of race day Lasix, and the money does indeed come from the Stronach group. It's not coming out of the purse accounts. So thanks for Chuck for that clarification. Let's take a break. Hammer closes out the day next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
At the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Up on the housetop, reindeer paws, out jumps good old Santa Claus. Down through the chimney with lots of toys, all for the little ones' Christmas joys. Ho, 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 who wouldn't go? Ho, 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 who wouldn't go? Up on the housetop, click, click, click. Down through the chimney with old Saint Nick.
There you go. 20 minutes to the top of the hour. Up on the housetop by the Donnas. Really good. The Donnas rock. Rick Hammerly standing by in New York. And the trip to the city has been already a lot of fun. Hammer, everybody's enjoying the Hammerly family travelogue. It's like Christmas Vacation starring the Hammerlys.
Yeah. just about. I'll tell you what. It was pretty fun. We've had a good time. And I will say this. I found out yesterday or this morning that they canceled Aqueduct yesterday. And I'll tell you what. I just walked 10 furlongs this morning and back. And I had a coat on, I had earmuffs on, I had gloves on, I had a hat on, and I'll tell you what, it is cold. And it was colder yesterday than it is today. So,
yeah.
Anyone sitting at home that was complaining about why they canceled, believe me, I'm telling you, it's cold. And so, I guess they plan on running today. But yesterday was a little bit bitter and cold. You know. So, anyway, we're enjoying it, we're loving it. And it's been great. I told you I went on a little 10 furlong walk this morning. I had to visit the hallowed ground of thoroughbred racing. We just went down to the jockey club and had a little visit with some friends down there for an hour this morning just to check in.
Nice.
And all is well in thoroughbred racing. So just to let you know.
I'll take your word for it then. It's certainly everything is going to be good, it seems, at Oaklawn. And, you know, once this trip is through, you're going to have to turn around, get packed up, and get ready to head to Hot Springs.
Well, you know, be ready. This trip was planned about 3-4 months ago. My daughter just turned 21 a few days ago, and we asked her, where do you want to go for your birthday? And figured we'd get the old Las Vegas answer, and she said, New York. And so we said, all right, let's do it. So she's here with her boyfriend and Gina and I, and we've actually had a few meals together, but they've done their deal. We've done our deal. And I needed to give you the food rundown because I know you're very, very interested. So some of the spots that we've had, first, when we hit the ground, we had to go right to Vezzo's Pizza on Lexington. Thin crust, just the best sauce. This is our favorite pizza place in New York. So that was the first stop. And then she picked a restaurant for her dinner, and it was Beauty and Ethics. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
Yes.
Yeah, very, very an eclectic place. Walk in, it's a pawn shop when you first walk in the door, and it's a real pawn shop. And then you continue on through, and it's very cool. It's kind of like a shotgun shack type of thing. It just keeps going and going and going back, and there's a second floor, and very lively and loud, very interesting menu, I'll say. Very tough for me. You know, I'm meat and potatoes, so some of these menus here I have to get around. But very good. We had a blast there. It hit the old Empire State Building at about 1:30 in the morning, which was, talk about cold. Oh, man. But crystal clear, that was cool. And, of course, we had to go to Gatto. We went to Gatto a couple nights ago. And that
nice.
It's just the best food around. It is so... Everything is good. I mean, I'm eating octopus, which I wouldn't touch the stuff before, but I mean, I eat stuff I would never eat there because it's just prepared so good.
Was Bobby around?
No, Bobby's back. He's back in California, but we met Jimmy Ventura, of course, there, and had a couple other friends in town. We met there and of course had a blast and hit Ed's Lobster Bar, which is on down there and on Lafayette as well, and had a little lobster roll. It was fantastic. And then tonight, we're headed down to Asbury Park to Jimmy's. Jimmy's
nice. Jimmy's old school. Jimmy's old school. Look at you.
Oh, believe me. People say, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. The whole trip's planned around food.
So, that's the way it's supposed to be. There's nothing wrong with that itinerary.
No. So we have a big group tonight, and we're seeing, you know, the Raffettos and Dempsey's and New Jersey's greatest handicapper, Greg Bowles, and his family, and Casey Kelly, and we're going to have a blast
down
there.
Holy cow.
So we're checking out here and headed down to that. But we've, New York is, it's the greatest city in the world. It really is. Just had a blast. Cruising around here, despite the cold. It's actually been good because it gives me a little pre-Oaklawn. It's going to be cold there for the first month. But, yeah, we get home on Sunday, do Christmas, and then literally a week later in the car, January 1st, and headed to Oaklawn. and just a lot of good vibes coming out of there. You know, 300-400 horses on the grounds now. Works are starting to be reported, and guess what? Poof, we're a month away, and really excited. I mean, I've never heard so many good things about a place, whether it's the people or the city or the racing or just everything. It seems to be a very upbeat type of place, and I think this meeting is gonna really continue that on, because some new names I think we'll see there, jockeys, new jockey names, new trainer names, and I think the racing is going to be good. Averaging over 9 a race for 3.5 months is pretty darn good.
I'm guessing, although, you know, you are on vacation, so there's no guarantee that you've already read the piece. But Bill Finley, I mentioned this earlier in the show, and I said I would bring it up with you. Bill Finley with a piece that is shares headlines at TDN today about the Southern California trainers that are going to send strings. And it seems like the group that includes John Sadler and Peter Ertin, Richie Baltus, Phil D'Amato, Doug O'Neill, Jerry Hollendorfer, and Peter Miller, you know, they're all sending anywhere from what? From 10 to 20, it seems. And it's going to make for a really interesting you know, sets of past performances that I think Oaklawn players are going to have to, you know, really dig in. You also have got Chug McGahee coming with horses for John Ed Anthony, which we knew, and even Maya Engelhart sending a handful. Talk a little bit, Hammer, about you know, the mix and match that is occurring, and.
You hit some of the names. Mike Pewitt just sent in another 20 as well from California. And I think, well, a couple of reasons. You know, there's some uncertainty there in California still. In fact, I got some calls this morning. You know, they take entries, I think, tomorrow or the next day for opening day, and there's some concern they might not run. I don't know why I get calls, but I said, look, I'm in New York. I have no idea what's going on there. But, you know, some uncertainty in California right now. And couple that with the fact that the purses in the Midwest, now we're talking about Oaklawn, are very healthy. And they're just going to get better as we move along. And, you know, throw that mix together, and you've got some owners and some trainers that they're saying, hey, you know what, maybe I need to get a foot in out there. With the turnaround of Kentucky the last couple years, the revelations going on at Turfway Park with Churchill Downs, their building is going to be a new building. The purses there have basically doubled at Turfway. You know, from last year to this year, they're going to go nowhere it up. So this Midwest combo between Oaklawn and the Kentucky track, you know, got Kentucky Downs in there as well, gives away $1 million a day. Not a bad place to, you know, maybe put a little satellite track out there. So that's what some of these guys are doing. I know there's some owners. I've gotten a lot of calls from some owners asking questions about Oaklawn. And you got to remember, a lot of horses from California get sent to California from places in the East and Midwest. And, you know, maybe some of those owners said, hey, you know what? I don't really want to send my own. Let's stay home. Let's stay here and run for better money. So that's happening. And I do agree with you that second Saturday, when some of the guys sitting in the old OTB parlors are opening up that forum and they're seeing, you know, John Sadler, Chug McGahee, Mike Maker, and, you know, Doug O'Neill all of a sudden mixed in with the normal guys, they're Assius and Brad Cox, you know, Diodoro. Whoa. I think they're going to take notice. And I think it's, you know, they might move up a little bit in the gambling hierarchy during that tough time. It used to be, you know, it was Gulfstream and Santa Anita and then maybe Oaklawn, but I think maybe Oaklawn's going to make it to the top tier this meet. It's just because of the change and the horses, the horses coming in from everywhere, in fact, it just really is intriguing to horse players and leads to good prices.
Hammer, don't know how much we're looking forward to it, obviously. You mentioned the situation with some weather concerns. I talked to John Parati yesterday, and John, who's in California, told me that there's chances of a rain forecast for middle of next week. So that's what that is about. I will spring this on you. American Graded State Committee, in the last 2 minutes, issuing their release. No races. Were you you were involved still in the meetings, correct?
No. It was the first year. This first year I was out.
Okay.
And they met real late this year. In fact, I checked right before we came on to see if there was any results. I know they sent out the individual letters yesterday to the tracks telling them what it was, but I hadn't seen anything else. I know they were coming out this morning, and I was very interested to see what went up and what went down. But no, I was not involved this year. To tell you the truth, I was speaking to Everett Dobson the other day at the symposium, and he's the chairman of that committee. I told him, you know what, that's of all the tight committees I've been on and through the years, I said, you know, that's the one I'm going to miss the most, because it was good group. It was fair, and you know, it was a good procedure. You got to, you know, be involved in that. So maybe someday I'll be back. But I was very interested in that. And you know what? I was been on vacation for the first time in a while here, and just didn't even think about it until this morning. And so I did not see the announcements. Was there any upgrades or big downgrades?
No upgrade. No no races were upgraded to grade one for 2020. Four races lose their grade one status: the Vosburgh at Belmont, the Chandelier, and the Santa Anita Oaks, and the Santa Anita Sprint Championship, all from grade one to grade two. Seven races were upgraded to grade two status. In New York, the Fort Marcy, the Pennine Ridge, which is rocketing. Pennine Ridge went from a listed stake to a grade three to a grade two. The Pilgrim now a grade two as well. The ascent of the juvenile turf racing, very evident. The Edgewood and the Pat Day Mile. Pat Day Mile, talk about a rebirth of a race. The old Derby Trial, which went from an important graded stake down to a listed, and now it's back up to grade two as the Pat Day Mile, and the Edgewood now grade two. The Dixiana Bourbon at Keeneland, the Joe Hernandez Hammer now a grade two. How about that?
Yeah, well, that came out of nowhere. We started that race, gosh, got to be 10, 15 years ago. It's just a little overnight as a prep for one of the graded races. But there's been a little push to get those graded sprints, try to separate them. Right now, those races were in with the dirt sprints, are hard to figure out. And now, since there is a Breeders' Cup race, there is an end goal for those races to, you know, try and get some of those races graded a little bit higher, because there's so many graded races in Europe, to give our horses a little bit of a chance to earn some points and to get into the Breeders' Cup. Now, so you mentioned three Santa Anita races taken down. You said the Sprint Championship, the Oaks, and the Chandelier. And so maybe they're starting to look more and more at field size than you know, just having that one super horse. I know that was the mode a couple years ago when we were looking at some races, that, you know, the idea of just having the one super horse and four or five others that go off at 25-1, is that necessarily a great race? And that's what happened at times in California. You would get that, you know, that superstar, and nobody would come in and chip in, and the race was kind of, you know, ho-hum. So, I mean, take the Sprint Championship this year. You had Chancelot in Omaha Beach, 1-2, you know, on the wire.
Yeah.
With I don't know how many was behind him, whether it was two or three, but maybe, I mean, that's pretty two tough horses to take a race down on. And the Oaks, yeah, the Oaks was one. I think that was Simon Callahan again. He's won that a few times, and then once again, the other Chandelier as well. I think he might have had the same horseman, the Chandelier, and then the Las Virginas and the Oaks again. So sometimes, like I said, that one horse that goes on. If there's not multiple, they're looking to take him down. But, you know, once again, so that's four grade ones in 2 years for California to lose. And once that spiral continues, once you lose that grade one, very, very, very rare do they turn around. Unless you can turn it around in the next year or two, you pretty much kind of get stay into that mid-grade twos. It's just historically that's how it is. You can rebound quick, you get a chance to get back. But the fact that you go to from a one to a two, you know, it doesn't get that extra horse that would be going for it. They'll go somewhere else. So, you know, it's just a sign of the times out there right now.
Very quickly, too, grade two down to grade three, the Gazelle, which has gone from grade one to grade two, now grade three. The Pocahontas goes from a two to a three. The Holy Bull at Gulfstream.
I got to say, if Elizabeth Warren would do a little better in the polls, maybe they would have downgraded that race.
Hey now, holy!
The
Monmouth Stakes slips from a two to a three. The San Luis Rey and the Kona Gold go from two to three, upgraded to grade three status. The Belmont Turf Sprint is now from listed to grade three. The Run Happy becomes a grade three. The Dogwood back as a grade three at Churchill. The Louisiana Stakes at Fairgrounds so for next year. The Kitten's Joy, now a grade three. The Challenger, good for Tampa Bay, gets another graded stake. And then grade three races that were dropped to listed status, the American Derby at Arlington, the Matron and the Hanshin Cup at Arlington, the All-American loses its grade three status at Golden Gate, the Hutchison at Gulfstream, which has been dropping, and the Oceanport loses its grade three status. Hammer, we got about 2 minutes, and I'm sure there'll be quite a bit of debate. People go crazy about these changes, but let's give everybody the Oakland calendar shot.
First of all, congratulations on winning the Fans Choice Awards. I'm sure you've been congratulated all morning, but I need to congratulate you as well. Well deserved, and that's great, fantastic. You're the Fans Choice, and that means more, I think, than a lot of other stuff going on. I believe to be picked number one by the fans. I think that's what it's all about. Okay, on to Oakland again. Oakland has once again stepped up for calendars. What you need to do, very simple, either send a picture of Oakland Park or Hot Springs when you've been there. If you have not been to Oakland Park or Hot Springs, send in a little fun fact about the track or about the city and just include it in your email with your address and send it to oaklawncalendar@yahoo.com. And we'll get a calendar out. Now, this won't be out till after I get there in the first part of the year. So don't expect them by January 1st, but you will get them early January. But once again, oaklawncalendar@yahoo.com, a picture or a fun fact of either Oakland Park or Hot Springs, Arkansas. And let me thank Oakland again for stepping up and doing this.
And thank you, of course, again, Hammer. This a fan favorite for years and years. After a 1 year hiatus, have a great rest of the trip, and I'll be back on Monday. We'll see. I mean, they're going to draw the card. We'll see about how things unfold later Christmas week and into the scheduled opening day at Santa Anita. But I won't talk to you until after the first.
Well, I'll probably be either at Dealey Plaza or I'll be at Hot Springs, one or the other. Anyway, enjoy. Have a great Christmas to all the listeners and to you and Tina and everybody else. It's been a wild year for me. I'm looking for another good one.
Without fail, you've had a fabulous year, a great adventure, and it continues. Rick Hammerly, everybody, and I want to thank Hammer and Mike Welch, of course, Ed DeRosa, Marcus Hirsch, James Scully, and Andy Beyer. On Monday, we'll have a visit from Jay Privman, and we'll probably visit with Siegel as well, and Johnny. Also, Alex Waldrop about the depreciation news, which looks like it's all it's got to do is get a scrawly signature on it, and it'll be done. Good luck this weekend, everybody. I will talk to you Monday, the last broadcast of 2019. And again, thanks so much for the votes in this Fan Choice Award. It's all the guests, all the regulars, and all of you that really are the key to it, why we do it. And we do it with the help of so many people that love and support the game, as you do. Talk to you on Monday.